Well, it's 11 o'clock. Welcome to worship. It's great to have you all here. If you'll take your bulletins, please, and let's just look through that real quick. There are a couple announcements, and by the way, you will also find a blue card in your bulletin. If you take a moment to fill that out, if you have anything you want to share with Pastor Jeff or anybody else, you can write a special request on the back of that, too. We have some announcements to look at. We also have several people to pray for, as you see on the right-hand side on the inside of the bulletin. At the bottom, below that list, is May 20th. We have a ladies' meeting here at the church. And then May 23rd, special offering for Friends Church North Carolina Missions. And Graduate Sunday is coming up. That's an exciting time. And then also visit the shut-in on that same day at 3:30 p.m. Is there anything else that I'm missing announcement-wise anybody wants to let the congregation know about? Okay. We want to keep Pastor Jeff and the family and everybody who's away this weekend in our prayers. And Kaylee, would you come up? And as she gets ready to lead us in the opening prayer, there's a quote in the bulletin from Mother Teresa. I think it's quite good. It says, prayer is putting oneself in the hands of God and listening to his voice in the depths of our heart.
All right, let's pray. Dear God, I just want to thank you for this wonderful Sunday morning. And though the weather might be dreary and we're kind of walking in, maybe tired this morning, God, I pray that you just open our hearts to worship and prepare us for today, God. And as we, even as we go home, God, that we take your word with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you. Would you stand with me as we sing together, lifting our hearts in song for worship? Thank you.
Let my
and know that He is God. Things take over and we just get overwhelmed with everything. Before we have our pastor prayer this morning, let's take a moment for silent prayer and focus on what God has for us.
Father, you hear our heart cry this morning. We long to be in your presence. Lord, we long to see you move in this place, in this city, and in this world that we live in, Father. And I pray that as we come before you this morning, each one of us would surrender our lives, our wants, and our needs to the desires of your heart, because you have always wanted what's best for each one of us. You created each one of us to have a close relationship with you, Lord. You created us to worship you. I pray in these moments that we have this morning, as we step away from the world, that we would feel your presence. We would know that you are in this place. Holy Spirit, we invite you here to connect with us this morning. Father, I pray that you would be with each of the members here, the homebound, those that are on vacation. Father, those that should be here, but they don't know it yet. Father, I pray that you would help us to be a church that reaches out to the lost and the hopeless. Lord, I pray for my brother this morning as he comes up and shares what you've laid on his heart. I pray that you would give him clarity of thought, but most of all, that he would step behind the throne of grace and that he would speak with the power that you have already given him through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, let us as a congregation have ears to hear your word. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you above all for all the things that you do in our lives and that for the things that we don't even notice, Lord. Forgive us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
You may be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So dealing with prayer, it does, it takes work. We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 today. But before we do that, I want to tell you a little bit about Hebrews. It was mainly written, we're not really sure. Some people say it was the Apostle Paul. Some think it was a disciple of his. But it was written towards Hebrews, Christian Hebrews, who suffered rejection, persecution by fellow Jews, and the possibility that that would continue. So they were sort of pulling back a little bit, wanting to go back to the Judaism, the Jewish faith. And Hebrews 10:32 tells us, remember the early days when you had been enlightened. You endured a hard struggle with sufferings. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to taunts and afflictions. And at some other times, you were actually companions of those who were treated that way. So these early Hebrews, just like we are today, you walk up to someone that may not know that you're a Christian and let them know, you may get publicly taunted, and you're going to go through certain sufferings. Hebrews 5:7 says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. In the days of his flesh, simply means from the time of Christ's birth to the time of his crucifixion. Here on earth, it wrapped up in the days of the flesh. Not his pre-existence time, and not after the Mount of Transfiguration. And offering up prayers and supplications, Jesus's all his days here on earth was filled with prayers and supplications. And ours should be as well. What is supplications? It actually means an olive branch. So it means peace. An olive branch that's wrapped in wool, the white purity of wool. It's strong crying and tears. And crying doesn't mean, because it seems like both of those are the same thing, but they're not. Crying simply means to cry aloud, to get loud, to speak really loud. So he was speaking very loud, passionately. So he did. He cried out from agony, but it was from the fury of what was going to happen, from God's wrath that was poured out on his holy body and his holy obedient person. Jesus agonized and wept in accepting the cup of suffering, committing to the Father's will that Jesus was about to carry the sin of the entire world on his shoulders. But he accepted this cup of judgment that would ultimately bring his death on the cross. So Christ's crying and tears were confined to the days of his flesh. And so shall ours be. We may have pains and sufferings now. We may be crying. We may be having tears. And we may be in some very low valleys at our time. But know that Jesus has walked that valley already. Unto him that was able to save him from death. This here kind of trips some people up. It's rather than save Jesus from death, it's more like the resurrection. The salvation plan was to resurrect Jesus, or Jesus to be resurrected from the dead, to conquer death. And Hebrews 2:14 says that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, and that is the devil. Some say Satan, the devil, Lucifer. So the resurrection of Jesus gives us, the obedient believers, the absolute surety that we will also defeat death when it comes our time. Verse 7 is referring us back to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus would often go there to the garden at the foot of the Mount of Olives. And Luke 22, verses 43-46 tells us what he was doing. So saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer, it was come to his disciples, and he found them sleeping. And he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. So this is right after the Passover meal. Jesus then, he invites them to come with him to pray. And he tells them, his disciples, to stay back a little bit, and he goes on to pray by himself. And he told them to stand watch with him and to pray, lest they be tempted. So as he's saying, Father, if thou will be, he's asking the cup to be removed in his humanity. Jesus was flesh and blood, just like us, but yet he was still also 100% deity. And Philippians 2:6 says, who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. So at least you think that Jesus was just simply human. He wasn't. He was veiled. So sometimes, as we know, the cup was not passed from his lips. So sometimes when we pray, the answer is simply, it is no. There is no other way. And the will of God must take its course. So you may be praying for something. You may be wanting something very bad. You could be earnestly praying for it. But sometimes it simply is, God's grace is sufficient. Hebrews says Jesus was heard, and he was. The cup of righteous judgment had to be poured out. Sin, we had to be paid for. The sin had to be paid somehow. So the cup did not pass from him. But God answers his prayer. In verse 43, he says, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. So sometimes that is the answer. You simply get strength. Strength to endure what is coming. And according to Romans 8:26, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, also helps us in our weaknesses. As believers in Christ, we have the Holy Spirit to help him. God simply sent an angel. We don't know if it was Gabriel or Michael. We don't really know. But he sent that angel to strengthen him. In Christ, we have the Holy Spirit to strengthen us, to comfort us. The Holy Spirit will intercede for us according to the will of God. Just because your prayer is not heard, or what you think is not heard and is not answered in what you expect it to be, in the time frame in which you expect it to be, I don't want you to think as believers in Jesus Christ that you have not been heard. You have, and you will be strengthened through your obedience. Just as Christ was obedient, he never wavered, he never sinned. Of course, we have the sin, Christ did not. But yet, even though, you see, that's sort of what he was telling. The writer of Hebrews was telling Hebrews, which is like, they're actually Jews, was even though, wouldn't it have been simple for Jesus to simply, as they said, if he says he's the Son of God, just come off the cross then, save yourself. Well, how easy would that have been for the Son of God to do? But what would have been the point of all the other sufferings that he had went through? What would have been the point if it was just that easy? Because our life ain't that easy. Jesus' humanity on earth was not easy. He, just like us, he slept, he got tired, and he prayed. So we have to remember, and we have to do our prayer life as well. In 44 it says, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat is as if it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. I'm not saying that you got to sit there and pray till the blood comes out of your pores. But we do need to be more like Jesus and be obedient in our prayer life. We should not neglect prayer. Prayer is communication between us and our God. That's how we communicate back and forth. That in his word. So Jesus was under great stress. Matthew and Mark, they record Jesus saying that in his stress, in his agony, it brought him to the edge, to the threshold of death. This is how bad he was agonizing. But yet, Jesus never failed. He continued to pray. And oftentimes, this is where you would find Jesus, again, at the Garden of Gethsemane, which is at the foot of the Mount of Olives. And Jesus would oftentimes pray all night long. He just wouldn't come back home. He'd stay out there in the wilderness praying. So Jesus was in constant prayer, constant communication with the Father. We should be too. Prayer is our answer. Verse 45, and when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping. So they had got weary. Jesus, through the angel of the strength, he had been able to continue the prayer. So his disciples could not endure that. In their weakness, they decided, well, we're just going to go to sleep. But that's sleepiness is another word also for weariness. Sometimes you can pray so often, so many times for certain things, and you just get weary of praying for it. But I don't want you to give up, because the prayer will be answered. So they'll be like his disciples and be weary. His disciples could not endure their weakness. They also disobeyed Jesus. Just a few verses earlier, verse 40, he says to them to keep watch with him and to pray so they would not fall to their temptation. See, so when they stopped praying, when they ceased praying, when they ceased communicating with the Father, they fell to their temptations. And we will too. If we don't keep the Holy Word in our hearts, written on it, so that we know it, and keep communication open between us and the Father, we will also fall to our temptations. Even Jesus' disciples fell to it. So we can too. So they fell to their fleshly desire, which was the temptation of sleep, weariness. So rather than obeying Christ and praying for strength, they just decided they want to go to sleep. I mean, while Jesus asked them to pray for strength, Jesus then comes up to him and says, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. So Jesus goes and finds them asleep, and he asks them, he says, why are you asleep? Rise and pray. So he says to just to get up, you know, get up out of that sleep, get out of that weariness, and continue back in your prayer life for strength. And he tells them again, otherwise, it's the second time he tells them in this chapter that they will fall to their temptation. It's funny, Matthew and Mark actually both record two times that Christ found them asleep. Not just once, but two times. Man, they must have been some very sleepy people. I tell you, I don't know how in the world. But if someone prays all night, that takes strength. So they found him asleep the second time. So Jesus, he knew what was coming. He knew he was going to have to carry that sin, you know. Well, he chose it willingly, but through the Father, they decided this is the only way to sacrifice a perfect lamb. But none of us are perfect. We're all spotted. Jesus wasn't. Jesus went through a lot of temptations, and that is tempted as in the past tense, like they tried. You know, Jesus was tempted by Satan. They went up on the cliff, and he says that, you know, Satan says, well, you know, if you come and follow me, I'll do all of this. This can be yours. But Jesus didn't fall for that. There's a lot of temptations in this world that may keep us from here, that may keep us from praying, may keep us out of our Bible, out of our Word, out of the Word of God. But we need to be sure that we are steadfast in keeping our prayer life open and the Word of God open. And we should take time. If we can take, you know, 30 minutes, an hour, every single day to read the Word, to pray. And you can do it in prayer. As you can do it in silence. You can do it on that bench. You can do it up here at this altar. You can do it at home. You can do it in your mind driving down the way in a car. You can pray anytime. But Jesus knew he was going to take the full wrath of Jesus, of God. And Jesus' disciples, they had no idea what was coming. Jesus told them. I mean, if someone was to tell you, I'm getting ready to be put to death for the sins of the world, would you have any idea what that really meant? If you're going to take the full wrath of God, because sin is what separates us from God. And that sin penalty must be paid. And Jesus paid that for us. I mean, That was the only way. Sent his son down here. Well, his son did too. It's all relative. They all came. To walk the earth as one of us. They took on the flesh as one of us. Walked in our own humanity. Right? Sinless, but still experienced everything that we experienced. Through the lowest of lows, through the highest of highs. And Jesus knew what he was getting ready to face. The disciples didn't. They didn't know what it was going to be like to fall into the hands of the living God. But Jesus did. The reason for their failures, their subsequent failures, they as in the disciples, follow right after these events. They are directly linked to their actions at Gethsemane. They weren't willing to pray properly. They didn't listen to Jesus. They didn't obey. So every failure they had after that was directly linked to this point in time. Because mind you, this is not long after this prayer they came and seized Jesus. And because Jesus was known to pray at the garden, that's how Judas knew where he'd be at. So Judas told the authorities, well, Jesus prays out here at the garden all the time. You go seize him then. And that's exactly what they done. So they knew where he'd be at. But that also shows you something. Jesus knew that. Jesus knew he prayed there every day, or nearly every day. He knew that they were looking for him. So he was still willing to go there and pray, regardless of what he knew they was coming to seize him to crucify him. So Jesus was willing. Prayer takes work. You have to be willing to pray and ask. And you need to be obedient, keeping God's commandments as closely as we possibly can, to pray on a daily basis, and sleepiness, distractions, resist temptations. Jesus, his disciples fell asleep. They got weary while he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. They fell to their temptations. It's easy to do, fall to our temptations. It's not what we want. And you know that Jesus can and will hear and answer your prayers. It may not be on the time frame you want, may not be the answer you're looking for, but you will be heard. He will answer you. So prayer takes work. I want to leave you right quick with this. On Matthew 8, 2 through 3, it says, right away, a man with leprosy came up and knelt before him. And he says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. You know what Jesus did? Jesus says, he reached out and touched him. Grabbed him. He said, I am willing. Be clean. And immediately like that, his leprosy was gone. Just that easy. Amen. So if you are willing to reach your hand out and ask just like he is, and he's bowing, he kneeled before his Lord and asked, that's what you need to do as well. So just keep that in mind, keep prayer life in mind. And sometimes it is work. We're going to sing this final song here. And what a friend we have in Jesus. And we do have a friend. No, it's not just a friend. It's somebody that you can rely on, you can go and speak to at any time. Jesus is always willing to listen to you. And he's willing to hold your hand. Remember, the Holy Spirit he sent as a comforter to us. He strengthens you. He advocates for you. And he's always with you as believers in Christ. Holy Spirit is in you rather than just on you. You carry that around with you inside. It illuminates you. The Spirit gives you understanding of things that Jesus wasn't able to do. He tells you that. He gives you the understanding. And I invite you to accept the Lord as your Savior. When I was about 20 years old, I did that. I'll never forget. Christy, we was at a little church. My grandfather, he was preaching in, and so we went and visited it, right? And man, they were like, it was like a Holiness Baptist or something, you know. I don't remember exactly what it was, but by the time they got done, Christy, she looked at me and said, "When are they gonna bring out the snakes?" And I thought, what are you talking about? You know, they were, you know, she was used to, you know, low key, you know. And my grandfather preached that day, and I said, we walked out the door, we was done. I was walking back to the car, but I kept feeling this feeling on me. I just kept feeling this feeling. And it was the hair raising up, and I couldn't understand quite what it was at the time, right at that moment. So I went and talked to my grandfather, and I told him, I said, I'm ready to give my life over to the Lord. So he called us all. We went right back into that little church. Went right to the altar and all up, got around you and prayed with me. They all laid hands on me, and I'll never forget it. The emotion that came over me, the amount of crying that I did, the weight that was lifted off of my shoulders. And as some of you know, when I was 23 or so, an accident happened to me. My identical twin brother dropped a tree on top. And it hurt me pretty bad. It hurt my spine. It hurt my hips. I had to have lots of things done. I got real low in my life back then. You know, my family, I'm grateful for them and my wife. But I can tell you, the person, you know, I counted on her a lot. I expected her to leave, but she did, and she stuck by me, and she still is to this day. But you know, being saved, I have the Holy Spirit with me. And I'll, just like Jesus did, I would pray earnestly from my heart. I walked through some very, very deep valleys, dark shadows. But you know, Christ, the Holy Spirit, never failed me once. Never left me.
That's right.
He never forsook me. He was constantly, just like he is now, by my side. Sometimes he walks with you. Sometimes he's got to carry it. Sort of like the footprints. You know, it turns into one set of footprints. So I am grateful that I have the Holy Spirit with me. And I invite you to feel that weight that's lifted off of you when something good or bad happens to you. When you have decisions that are life-changing, whatever they might be, or when you're staring death in the face, you know, paralyzing, can't walk again. But you know, I was able to so clearly, but I'm grateful for that, and I invite you to accept the Lord as your Savior as well. Thank you.
Would you stand with me as we sing?
Oh,
someone to help us bear that weight. And we are grateful, God, for the salvation plan that you gave us, for the sins of your people. Father, be with us as each one of us leaves here today. And let us be continually in prayer in your word. Bless the union and the wedding that happened today. Be with the ones that are sick, the ones that are traveling as they come back from that. Father, let your light shine through us as we leave here today.